Well, there are five big trends that will affect the future of agriculture, according to a new report from ABARES and the CSIRO. From new technologies to more demanding consumers, the list is meant to show both the opportunities and the challenges that ag will face in coming decades. ABARES Acting Executive Director Jared Greenville runs through the top five, starting with the number one, population growth in Asia.
We've had a bit of a setback in the last couple of years, or the last year really, with COVID-19 coming along and having a big impact on economic growth. But if we look further out, what we really see is the fundamental growth that we've seen in the past will continue. And we're expecting that there could be about 2 billion extra high-income consumers. So consumers who are empowered, they have income, they know what they want. And that's all really occurring in Asia and close to our major markets.
And I guess the opportunity is we can tap into that, but the potential challenge is their demands will rise as well.
That's right. So there's the opportunity that's created as the incomes grow. They generally demand more of the type of products that we produce, so red meat, products that are clean, green and sustainable. But at the same time, they are likely to put increased pressure on what we do. So as that demand for high-quality food continues to grow, so will our need for us to demonstrate, you know, how we're performing against the things that they want.
So if we move to megatrend number two, it's fractal politics, which is basically talking about international trade and relations, and I guess a note of caution that it looks like it's going to get more complex rather than more simple.
Yeah, that's right. So in a way, it's allied to that first trend. As we've got this growth occurring in a number of countries, we're expecting also that consolidation of economic activity around 7 or so nations and regions that are occurring, you know, that are across the world. Now, that, you know, has benefits, as we've just spoken about, but it also creates some kind of, you know, uncertainty in that international trading landscape. And as we've seen recently, those uncertainties mean that we have to navigate different aspects in our trading relationships with some of these key markets than we've had to in the past. And so being aware of that, or having strategies in place that allow us to, you know, respond and have a more diverse trade, I guess, bundle will be important, and perhaps more important than we're seeing today.
Number three is more from less, the permanent race for advantage. And that's kind of, as long as I'm reading it right, seems to be talking about that continual push for productivity. And I guess the idea that, you know, Australia is often touted as being pretty productive and on the cutting edge already, but you can't kind of rest on your laurels.
That's right. This is one that's familiar, I think, to everyone. And we've seen it in the past, and we've actually been quite good at this. And we've had quite strong productivity growth, effectively, so producing more from less over the past. But as with everything, it's relative, and it's relative to how we do compared to other countries. And what we've seen really in recent years is a bit of slowing in that productivity growth. And so there's always going to be this constant push for us to be able to keep on producing more from less. And as you know, we work in a scarce world with scarce resources, and that growing number of consumers, which is also on the back of a growing population, there's going to be even more pressure to do that. And so that requires us to innovate and to invest in R&D and to find ways to meet that challenge. And at the same time, when we're trying to produce more from less, it's not always the case that the cost of our inputs that are going in to produce things are also coming down. They're often going the other way. So it's a real squeeze that we need to navigate.
And there's a question mark too there about when that, if you do increase productivity, does that end up benefiting farmers, or does it benefit other people?
Yeah, that's right. So increasing productivity, if we're not producing more, just means we need less to produce the same amount. And so then where do those benefits go? I mean, unquestionably, there's benefits for consumers and everyone else, but for rural and regional Australia, there is a need to couple that with also, you know, growing value in those areas, or being able to produce, you know, different or more things. And so part of what's important in that is also being able to, you know, have ways that we're, in a way, I call value-adding at the farm gate, so that we're supporting our sectors to grow value, becoming more productive, but also creating jobs and keeping employment and income in those rural areas.
And megatrend number four is actually one that's been in the headlines a bit lately, talking about cascading planetary risks. And so that's things like climate, commodity prices becoming more volatile. And as we've seen recently, a fair bit of discussion about how carbon will play a role in farming too.
That's right. So we're already seeing, our climate starting to change, and, we've seen that our temperatures in Australia have increased by about 1 degree since 1950. Now, that's already putting pressure on our sector, and we're expecting that in the outlook, and we've looked at CSIRO and BOM and what they've had to say, that's likely to increase. So managing that uncertainty and managing that adaption pressure is going to be really important going forward. But the other thing, as you mentioned, it's not just us. Everyone else in the world is grappling with this as well, and production, not only in Australia but elsewhere, is becoming a bit more variable, and there's new sources of supply and there's old other sources which are drying up, and that's likely to have an impact on our price through those fluctuations. And so dealing with both, our own production uncertainties and variability needs to be done at the same time with dealing with the price uncertainty that can come about.
And the final mega trend is disruptive technologies, which we almost touched on a little bit earlier, but that idea of the cutting edge technologies, which can be an opportunity, but can also be daunting too.
Yeah, that's right. In a way, it's like productivity. So we've got disruptive technologies, and there's some work that we quote in this paper that says that they could add potentially $20 billion to the sector. And that's massive when you think that the sector is worth about $65 billion today. Now, the thing with disruptive technologies, they don't get that name because they're, easy to implement and they don't change anything. And they do disrupt the way that we produce, and they can disrupt the way that we earn income and who earns income, as we're saying, with productivity. So there's a challenge there of both adopting and also making the most out of them for our sectors and out in rural and regional Australia.
And I guess that brings us to the kind of the big question at the end, which is probably a difficult one to wrap up. But when you look at these challenges and these opportunities, where does Australia sit?
Yeah, so we sit, in a way, finely balanced. I think we've done pretty well in navigating the initial waves, so to speak, of these megatrends that have come our way. We've had a fairly smart trade policy. We've been able to really respond to some of the demands of that growth juggernaut. We've also done pretty well in terms of, that more from less productivity growth. But with many of these things, just because we've done well in the past doesn't mean we're going to do well in the future, and we can be a little bit complacent. So the thing for the lessons, I guess, from the past is that, to get where we got, we had to do a fair bit of work, and that bit of work is still required in the future. The uncertainty is that we can't do again what we did in the past. We have to do something different, and so that there's always a need for more, innovation and more investment in the sector to make sure that it is nimble and responds to these megatrends.
That's ABARES Acting Executive Director Jared Greenville.